And the time will be our time, and the grass won't be no more.
Show.
Child.
Oh, not welcome back. Are we back? I think we're back. Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@bruceallen.com. And in fact, if you want to sponsor the show, I hope you'll email me soon because we've only got five more to go if we don't get a good sponsor at this point. But in the meantime, I am so happy to have Sherilyn Harley Laban with us, who's a world-class political pundit, former appointee in the George W. Bush administration, frequent guest on a lot of other things. Hello, Sherilyn, and welcome to the show.
Oh, Bruce, always great to be with you.
So I was telling you on break that, and I told our listeners, I had to turn off the news last night. It was just too depressing.
It is. And
what's going on, and how do you reconcile it? I only do one political segment a week on my radio show, and I write occasionally on politics. If I had to live in this world, I think I'd figuratively slit my wrist.
Well, I try not to watch a lot of television. I get a lot of news through Facebook and Twitter, really. I mean, and I can get some decent news depending on who you follow, right? You make sure you follow a good cross-section of international, domestic, right, left, all sorts of types of journalists. And through that, I can pretty much get a good picture of what's going on from different perspectives, right? So that helps. And I certainly don't put on the news until after the kids go to bed because I just don't think it's helpful for the kids to see it either and hear it. It's just not helpful, nor is it inspiring. Second of all, I think because I have little kids and I'm so excited for their future, I like to still think that things can improve and that I am raising children who will make a difference.
That's beautiful. I must say, it's hard for me with kids that are 10 years older than yours not to be just scared to death about their future, about their ability even to be self-sufficient, let alone the fact that they have so much fewer opportunities, in my view, than I did or you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the kids now need to understand, and I think particularly the recent college grads, they're getting just getting a cold slap in the face because they have $30,000 in debt, and their job options just certainly aren't significant. And some of them are returning back home, and others, if they are living on their own, I mean, their budget's pretty tight every month. And I think they're getting a very eye-opening experience about what is to come for them. And I spoke to a group of staffers on Capitol Hill last Saturday and basically led it was a speech about networking. And I've got to tell you, Bruce, some of the questions that these kids come out with, I must say a lot has to do with the fact that their life has been surrounded by technology. Mm-hmm. So this either lack of confidence or inability to pick up the phone and call someone, I find to be quite frightening, right?
Because you mean a text isn't all you need to do?
Mm-mm,
you can't get a job by applying online like my kids have done, thinking that's going to make a difference? You mean you have to actually walk into a store and go, "Hello, Mr. Franchisee, I would like to work here."
Right. It's just...
Oh, by the way. Let's talk about that, franchisee. My boys are way too important to work at McDonald's.
Right. You listen, okay, when I was growing up,
they have already
told
me that I guess they're just going to step out of college if they graduate. My older one may not because he's pursuing a music career, but my younger one may. I guess they'll just step out into six-figure incomes. Isn't that what's going to happen? Isn't that what they're entitled to?
Well, you know, whether they are entitled to it or whether they want it, whatever the case may be, I tell you, it's not happening.
I know. 85% of college grads, listen to me, 85% come back home to live for extended periods of time. Did you know a single friend that came back home for any length of time when you graduated high college? What was it, 4 years ago, 6 years ago?
No, I don't know anybody who did that. No.
Hey, I gave you a little cutie, a little dig there. It had to be at least 15 years ago that you graduated college.
Well, we won't say exactly when that was, but we won't say exactly when that was, but it was a while ago, needless to say, and I didn't know many. I mean, most of my friends either went to grad school, they started jobs, but I was clear that moving back home either wasn't an option or it wasn't something that they wanted to do at all.
I didn't know a soul. I loved my parents deeply, and I visited and spent time with them constantly. But I left home at 16 and never returned. And I was close with them and lived in the same city until their passing at ages 89 and 90. But I was on my own. They helped me through college. And by the way, a very notable thing about my college, I have a BA and an MBA. The entire cost of those degrees was less than half of one semester sending my older son to a college in Boston. I got an MBA and a BA for less than half the cost of one semester at a music college in Boston. A little sobering, isn't it?
Yeah, very sobering. Speaking of sobering,
please tell me what's going on in the news today. I mean, what's standing out for you? What's at the top of your mind?
It's the end of June, and Supreme Court is wrapping up their session.
For
your audience, I mean, there's a number of things. You know, the NLRB decision came down, and a couple other decisions that have come out. But let's talk about, for your audience, which I think what may be helpful. It's the case regarding the use of cell phones, right? So basically, this is regarding when the police stop you, whether they have the right to also search your cell phone when they stop you. And so the Supreme Court, and it was all of the justices with Alito, unanimous, with Alito writing a separate opinion because he just felt that there was not enough clarity on a particular issue, which I'll get to in a minute. So basically now, when the police stop you, they cannot automatically search your cell phone. Now, important for your listeners to understand, heretofore, when you were stopped, they had the right to search your trunk, your purse, the contents of your car. Now the court is saying, can't touch the cell phone. Now, please understand that if they have enough cause, they will go ahead and get that warrant from a judge, and they can go ahead and get a warrant to then search your phone. Okay, so please understand that the phone is never completely off limits. Oh, no, they just need to get a warrant for it. The other thing to understand is when there are dire emergencies, the examples the court gives are if there's a missing child or if they're trying to head off a terrorist plot. That whole not taking the cell phone goes right out the door. So let's talk about what Alito took issue with. What he wanted was a little bit more specifics around kind of quote-unquote the search incident to arrest doctrine, which means what he would have preferred is he would have preferred to kind of leave it to Congress and the state legislatures to decide with specifics when the police might be allowed to conduct searches of the contents of cell phones. He thought it was a little vague in the overall decision. He wanted a little bit more specifics, and he also thought that that was something that there should be specific legislation about. And I kind of agree with him, because right now you're saying, okay, you know, you can't take our phones except in dire emergency, yada, yada. But you know, the court's not in the business of really giving a whole lot of specifics. I mean, that is really what Congress and your state legislatures are for, to further kind of flesh that out. And I think this does need to be fleshed out.
Wasn't a lot of the concern regarding this whole privacy thing, which I think has gone bonkers with everybody worried about their privacy, and the fact that these phones are could potentially carrying a lot of personal data that is protected.
Yeah, digital privacy. It was really a digital, it's really was, you know, a digital privacy issue. But, you know, I'm sure for law enforcement, you know, they like to be able to search through your phones, because that may be, you know, think about if you're dealing with a drug dealer. How do you think drug dealers communicate with people? Well, usually by texting, right?
No, I get it. And, of course, 3 days later when they come back with a search warrant, that person will have absolutely just preserved all the information on their phone if they're out on bail.
Or they deleted it. But
that could never happen. I mean, the IRS has all the emails we would ever need to see, correct?
But the good thing is with this, you know, I don't know enough about, you know, the technology now that law enforcement uses, because, you know, it's pretty advanced. What they are able to do, you know, even if they have to go 2 days and get the search warrant, what they are able to do is they take that chip out of that phone, and unless this drug dealer has gone, you know, through the lengths of also erasing everything on that chip, the police are probably going to be able to get the information they need to get.
That's good. Well, I believe that almost everything is recoverable, in spite of what our esteemed IRS chairman says. So most everybody that has been on all the news shows, the experts in the world of digital recovery and stuff and archival, have said that most everything is recoverable. The thing that's most galling to me about the IRS thing that I just actually don't understand, if I send you an email and I delete everything on my end, you're still going to have it. So all the emails that Lois Lerner has sent out had to go somewhere. So why is there even a question? Just find the likely suspects and subpoena their records. So, I mean, it's a mystery to me. Has there been a decision on the Hobby Lobby thing yet?
Not yet. We're waiting for that to come out, Bruce. Not yet.
Okay, of the things going on right now, the Iraqi resurgence, the IRS, the VA scandal, I'll just take those three because we have to go to break. What one is of most trouble to you in your mind? What is the biggest worry? I think I know the answer, but I'm curious.
I think on an international level, I'm still worried about Boko Haram and our government's lack of recognition that this is a serious problem. And the fact that, you know, Iraq in basically 4 to 6 weeks has just melted down.
You mean having a whole country devoted to terrorism concerns you?
Right, it does. And their collaboration.
I'm sort of surprised because Obama really, I think he's concerned about his handicap.
Right. That's
his golf handicap, just in case you don't know what I was talking about.
He is definitely checked out.
Disengage would be a kind word. We are out of time, Sherilyn. Where can our listeners find you?
Oh, your listeners can follow me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, Lebon, L-E-B-O-N. They can also go to my website, harleylebon.com, see all my media clips and latest columns.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sherilyn. Hope you can join Dead Chat tonight. I think you'd find the topic interesting. We're going to break with Pastor Drew coming on right afterwards.
Can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found that's stronger than love.